You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recently, a lot of conversation has been had about the curriculum, with the government planning to roll out yet another new and expanded curriculum. This expanded curriculum, beginning in term one of next year alongside their general new curriculum, will seek to provide the tools for teachers to educate and assist students with high and complex needs who are otherwise ignored in the existing curriculum, or so the government claims. This comes against the background of this government's push for effective teaching and learning based on science. However, concerns remain about this curriculum. For starters, this curriculum exists separately to the rest of Aotearoa's student body. We seem to be getting one curriculum for those with complex needs and one for those without. This has led to questions about the role of inclusion in our education and what that means for our students. I spoke to Senior Lecturer in Critical Studies and Education at the University of Auckland, Dr. Jude MacArthur, about the separate curriculum, what it means for these students, and how it might affect their learning and inclusion. To get us started, what have we seen so far in terms of this expanded curriculum and the government's plans?
So we've had an announcement from the Minister to say that an expanded curriculum would be provided for students with complex needs. And in her announcement, Minister Stanford said that that would be the 12,000 students around New Zealand with complex needs. So my assumption would be that those students are the students who have ongoing resourcing funding for high and complex needs, right? So those children are in special schools. They are also in special classes in ordinary schools, and they are in their local schools. And obviously in smaller towns and rural areas, that's where the children will be, in the regular classroom with their peers. So at the moment, what I've been told is that expanded curriculum is only going to be for children with high and complex needs who are in special schools. But we haven't seen it yet, and so my question really is, well, the question that I've asked is, why do we need an expanded curriculum? Because an expanded curriculum for me suggests that this is confirmation that the New Zealand curriculum, the refreshed New Zealand curriculum, has not been written with every child in mind. And that's a backward step from our 2007 curriculum, which was indeed written for everybody.
And I mean, on that, when we look at how this curriculum might differ from that being rolled out for other students, what does it kind of mean in terms of exclusion and how the rolled out curriculum might not account for these students?
Yeah, so so we know that the refreshed curriculum, which I refer to as the Stanford curriculum, because it is actually different from work that was done between 2020 and 2023 on Te Mate Aho. So the new curriculum now that Minister Stanford has delivered under her leadership is called the New Zealand Curriculum Te Mate Aho. And it mentions inclusion. However, it also prioritises a knowledge-rich curriculum and science of learning. And so my question then would be around, well, what if we take that as the sort of overarching focus for everybody, how will disabled children's learning be recognised when the focus is on a narrow form of knowledge, it's on a narrow way of teaching? So teachers have been told, you will teach this type of knowledge, you will do it in this particular way, and we're waiting now to find out what is the assessment that's going to sit alongside that. So how will teachers recognise student learning? So my concern around the expanded curriculum is, well, first of all, what are we expanding? And what's that going to look like? If we go back in time to the 2007 curriculum, we have seen alternative versions of the New Zealand curriculum brought out for disabled children, and that curriculum was not based on New Zealand knowledge, understanding, culture, you know, opportunities for learning. It was based on overseas ideas about what disabled children need. It was also a very low-level curriculum. It was focused on children's learning below level one. So it doesn't take much for us to think about, you know, well, what sits behind that? What are the assumptions that sit behind that? And if we assume that children can't learn at level one and they've got to have a curriculum that's below level one, there is a very strong sense there that we don't believe in children's capability, but rather we see them through a deficit lens. And so our expectations for their learning are going to be quite low level. So my worry around any form of adapted curriculum or an expanded curriculum would be that it could come from a deficit orientation towards disabled children's learning, low expectations for their learning, and therefore, in terms of curriculum delivery, not giving those children the opportunities that they really need to learn well, to build on their strengths, to build on their interests, and so on.
And particularly in this context, but kind of wider as well, what does the science say about inclusion in education and how best to include these children in the wider curriculums?
If we look at what we know about inclusive education, we know that the best place to start, for a teacher to start, is to assume that that child is capable. And to build on, to learn about the child, to know that child well, to know their whānau, to gather as much information as you can about that child's strengths and their interests, and that becomes your starting point for teaching and learning. And we also know, you know, in terms of the research, that children who learn in their local school, in their local community, where those schools are well supported and well resourced and where teachers are given the professional learning and the supports they need to include everybody well, the opportunities for those children's learning, for them to do that, for them to learn within the context of their local community and to be part of that community and grow up in that community, the outcomes for them both now as children and as adults are going to be far better than if they were segregated. These are not new ideas for us, are they? Because they are the very ideas that sat behind the deinstitutionalisation movement years ago. And so really what we're doing is just naturally taking those ideas and saying, well, you know, obviously children will learn best where they're in a place where they are seen as capable learners, as having strengths and interests, where they are alongside their peers, their brothers and sisters, and have that sense of belonging, you know, in their local school and in their local community. That will serve them well now and in the future.
And looking at both these curriculums and other changes that this government in particular has made towards education, what do these kind of say about the wider treatment of both neurodivergent and disabled students, but also tamariki and rangatahi Māori in our education space and how the government wants to approach them?
Well, it's a really difficult question to answer in a short space of time, but I'll do my best. I mean, you know, if you take the idea that this curriculum has been developed by around the ideas of a knowledge-rich curriculum, which is sort of a focus on a particular narrow form of knowledge, and around the science of learning, which is based on assumption that all brains are the same and we all learn in the same way, that is clearly going to be problematic in a diverse classroom. And so, you know, I mean, I'm speaking about disabled children here, and we know that in order for disabled children to learn well, we have to really understand them. We have to know what, I've already mentioned their strengths and interests, but we also need to know, you know, what are the effects of disability on them, how are we going to recognise and respond to the barriers that might get in the way of their learning. And those barriers could be physical, they could be about the classroom environment, they could be attitudinal barriers and so on. So all of those things need to be taken into account by a teacher when they're working with that child. You know, teachers also need to know, how am I going to use the additional supports I have in the classroom, like teacher aid? How do we do that well so that the child is not isolated away from their peers? And how do I work with other experts who can provide me with the knowledge that I might need around sort of therapies and integrating those into the child's day and so on? So you can get a sense of that being, you know, quite a complex set of ideas and activities and action, but all aimed at supporting that child to learn well. So in terms of the curriculum needs to take all of that into consideration. Now, if we say there's only one type of knowledge, and we're saying to teachers, you must teach in this particular way, and you must assess in this particular way, we are failing to take into consideration the diverse ways in which children learn and can show their learning. And that's my concern.
With that in mind then, just to kind of wrap up, what then should we be seeing from the government in terms of inclusivity in our education and in our curriculums?
So I wrote a piece about this, and I pointed out that between 2020 and 2023, Te Matai Aho, the underpinning framework for the refreshed curriculum, was written by a group of experts, Māori, Pacific, Tangata Tiriti, and people who work in inclusive education. And when you look at that document, many of the ideas that I've just been sharing with you now are documented there. So inclusion is explained. It's fully explained. Teachers have information in there which helps them to understand what inclusion is, how they put it into practice, and so on. And what it means in their day-to-day practice in the classroom with children and young people. That curriculum is also talks about giving effect to Te Tiriti o Waitangi. So the values and the ideas in there are very inclusive around children's cultures, and obviously in Aotearoa New Zealand, our focus needs to be on Māori children and thinking about what kind of context they're going to really support their learning in a way which is respectful of and responsive to their culture. Many of those ideas help us to understand what inclusive schools really look like in this country. And the beauty of that original document, Te Matai Aho, was that it was all brought together in one place, in one document. My suggestion to the Minister is that we should go back to that piece of work. It was a beautifully articulate piece of work. It was thoughtfully considered by people who were named, and it provides the foundation that we need for a truly inclusive curriculum. What we have now in this rewritten version has lost much of that sort of knowledge and information. It's still sitting there. The document is there. It was ready to go out to schools for the final consultation round, and then it was dropped when the new government came in. So my suggestion is that we go back to that, and that we recognise that the document that's replaced it is inadequate. It's full of oxymorons. It's full of ideas that simply do not work together. You can't say on the one hand that all children learn in the same way and that teachers must teach this way, and then say that the curriculum is inclusive. Clearly that just does not make sense. So let's drop that, and let's go back to the original Te Matai Aho, and work from there and start developing our, the documents that go with our learning areas with that foundational document in mind.
That was Senior Lecturer in Critical Studies and Education at the University of Auckland, Dr. Jude MacArthur, on the planned expanded curriculum for disabled and neurodivergent children and what it means for inclusion in the education system.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.